Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan, now actually being in Japan. I'm your host Chris Broad and we're joined by top London radio DJ and now famous superstar celebrity, because he's been in Natsuki the movie, Pete Donaldson. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Chris. I can't imagine how you're feeling right now, Chris, because this video, this film, this experience, this documentary has been so long in the making, and I imagine it's been nagging at you for such a long time. You know, you've had to produce videos week by week. You've had to do podcasts every week. But what you actually wanted to sit down and do is finish Natsuki the movie. There were so many moving parts. There were so many situations you had to sort of finish before you got the video done, the film done. You must be so pleased and so exhausted and so relaxed and so excited and so, I'm going to say aroused, Chris.
Aroused. Yes, I feel rather aroused.
Yes.
No, it hasn't really sunk in yet. I mean, I only went out about a day ago now, and it hasn't really sunk in. I woke up this morning, and I was like, oh, I've got to finish editing Natsuki the movie. Oh, wait, it's done. And so it hasn't really sunk in. I did reward myself. I began rewarding myself yesterday when I released it. Got a Domino's pizza. Like you do.
Right.
Like
Chris,
I do anyway.
Chris, you do that every week. Don't give me that. That's not a celebration.
Yeah, I do it every week. It's become something of a ritual now, hasn't it? I also got Civilization 6 on the iPad.
Oh, wow.
Which surprised me.
Yeah, it's quite a technical game. I don't know how it's able to...
it works. It's actually a lot more better. It's better than PC because it's a lot more immersive. You can actually touch the battlefield. You can touch the screen. It's a lot more natural.
I've heard your unit touch you.
And then today and tomorrow. Today I'm watching Deadpool 2, and tomorrow I'm seeing Isle of Dogs. Finally,
oh, what?
You'll be pleased to know. About three months after you've seen it. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. So those are my plethora of rewards for myself after finishing the movie. Yeah,
I love that you're finally watching Isle of Dogs. I mean, when was Bryan Cranston on the podcast? Like a million years ago.
Oh, God, a long time ago. It's pretty embarrassing. So next week's podcast, you'll get the full review of Deadpool 2 and Isle of Dogs.
Oh, lovely old job. You probably won't end up liking it now. My mum, actually, I sent my mum and dad to go and see it, and my mum fell asleep in it, so there we go. So it's terrible. She's dreadful and sleepy. So it's finally done. You must be really pleased with the reaction. I feel like I'm kind of interviewing someone who's like, I'm interviewing Ron Howard or something, you know. You finally finished Star Wars Han Solo. Yeah,
got to see that as well. I bet you've seen that too, haven't you?
I had to see that because I was interviewing somebody from it. Old Dragon Lady, Dragon Eggs, whatever her name is.
1 to 10? 1 to 10?
I enjoyed it, so I'm going to give it a 7. I'm not...
Wait, you interviewed Emilia Clarke, Miss Game of Thrones herself, eh? What was she like? What was she like in person?
See, people will think that we didn't come up with that at the same time, but we did. Actually, no, the latency will dictate that I came up with the first. But two seconds makes you a little bit more quick on the draw. Yeah, she's really nice, really lovely. I had two good ones, actually. I did Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard, obviously daughter of Ron Howard, and her in 1 week. And they were all Blummin' lovely. I've had a run, to be honest. Usually you'll get like a run of like two good ones, and then you'll have a stinking interview. Mm. Actually, I did Clive Owen. He's not exactly the most charismatic individual in the world. Handsome men rarely are charismatic. That's why Chris Pratt is such an anomaly.
You're the exception to the rule, aren't you? The exception to the rule. What a week you've had, then. Interviewing Emilia Clarke and being in Natsuki the movie. Can your life get any better? No.
It was lovely to see myself in Technicolor. I didn't realise that you'd used one part of an interview we did on the first day I ever met you, and then one when we recorded the second podcast, I think. I seem to recall when you were over here.
The first thing I want to talk about. So today I want to talk about Natsuki the movie a little bit, because I know there's probably a lot of people with some questions, and hopefully we can answer some questions about it. But how did you even come to invite us in that day? Because in the movie, I sort of said, we were at a restaurant, and then we got an email from a great radio DJ. Obviously, I exaggerated. you were just a few blocks away, and we sort of came in, and it wasn't rigged, it wasn't staged at all. It was just very lucky that you should kind of message us that day and bring us in. I mean, it was really lucky because that was our last day filming in London, and you were just a few blocks away when we got the email, when I got an email from you saying, "Hi, I'm Pete, I'm at Absolute Radio, do you want to do an interview?" kind of thing. So that was incredibly lucky, to be honest. Any other day during the trip and it wouldn't have happened.
I think I had a free morning or a free afternoon. I was sort of like, I noticed that, I think you tweeted maybe that you were in London. I was like, well, if he's in London, I mean, they'll probably, you know, if they're filming something, I mean, you know, it's probably something a bit different that they're probably not going to be doing, I suppose. And sort of dragged you guys in for a half an hour. Now
I know you well enough. Now I know you pretty well and know how devious you are. I think it was all a cynical ploy to become a part of the
of the Abroad in Japan podcast.
look forward into the future.
I'm fairly certain I came to you just do a podcast. Just do a podcast, Chris, for crying out loud. You might even have an idea about it, but you know, you've never done one before.
Exactly, it was part of your plan.
Let Daddy
part of your
Podcast
devious scheme,
lead you through the woods of podcastery. Well, I didn't have a podcast company at that point, so and I literally had no interest in setting up one. So it was only later that I thought, well, you know, Chris is good.
Sure. Sneaky devil. But it was weird when I was editing. I've been editing the last few weeks, hunched over my laptop in a dark room editing, and it's been quite weird, like editing that scene where I first met you and stuff, and thinking, oh my god, I've been doing podcast with him for 3 months now. I'm giving him a grand tour around North Japan, so it's quite weird for me looking back at that.
You rarely get to see your first meeting with anyone, I think, in film. Do you really? It's a little bit strange, but it was good. It was getting you in here and having a chat and stuff. Because obviously I was, you know, blown away about meeting Natsuki, but Natsuki's interview technique, it was actually quite hard to interview him. I seem to recall having to cut that down.
It was a nightmare, wasn't it?
To about 3 minutes, really. We only got 3 minutes out of years, but I think that's about as long as anyone gets, really. But it was a lot of fun. And what I liked about the film,
one question Natsuki had to answer, and he still messed it up. What are the attractions of Tokyo? Yeah. Many shops. It's not really a great answer, is it? I thought, Natsuki, come on, we're on radio here. You can up your game a bit.
All right. Yeah. what I liked about one scene in the film where Natsuki's just strolling around and just being Natsuki, and some random dude just comes up, a guy in a vest. A thin man in a vest pops in. I can't remember his name now. Sven or something, I think.
Jeff.
Literally not Sven then. very not a Swedish. But he just you start in Leicester Square, I think. They meet each other in Leicester Square or Piccadilly or something like that.
That's right, yeah.
And then
yeah.
you end up in, I think, Camden, weirdly enough. Did you go up for a drink in Camden? Because I couldn't figure out where
you were.
Yeah,
so we walked across London.
Wow.
Jeff wanted to show Natsuki around. I mean, originally, we started walking through St. James's Park and Natsuki had his balloons. And he was talking to people and he talked, he said hello to like 20 people and only 4 people said hello back. So it was a little bit depressing. And then we made it through to Leicester Square and all of a sudden he got spotted by Jeff. And it was we were like, oh, wow, he's actually got a fan. He's been spotted. And it was a really nice moment. And then when we carried on walking, they walked over to Camden. Yeah. And while we were there, Natsuki actually got spotted by quite a lot of people. But unfortunately, the cameras weren't rolling then, so we could have got a lot more,
right,
unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I think Natsuki's very Camden, if you don't mind me saying. He's very
Camden.
Roll,
he's in his element when
indie,
he's walking around
of,
Camden.
Punk rock sort of thing. I bet he loved the stalls. Many shops.
Many shops.
Many shops.
it was a really nice moment. That's one of my favourite moments, I think, in the film. It's a very nice, organic kind of moment.
Yeah.
Then again, I suppose the good thing about, or the bad thing about, Act 2 in Natsuki the Movie. Mm. So, for those that haven't seen it, in Natsuki the Movie, Natsuki's having a bit of a tough time back home in Japan, so he decides to go on a once-in-a-lifetime trip to Europe, to Paris and London. And we had no plan, really. He made this bucket list of 8 random things.
Yeah.
And then we just went off and followed him around London. It wasn't scripted. It wasn't planned. There's a scene where he does this backwards somersault, nearly breaks his neck in a indoor wind tunnel. And then he goes, does acupuncture. And that was completely planned. It wasn't planned. It was completely kind of happened there and then.
Yeah.
And we were forced to go and do some acupuncture. We also went to the hospital, which wasn't fun. We sat in Brighton Hospital for like 5 hours. And if you watch the movie, you'll find the scenes in Brighton are really short.
Yeah.
Because we did have a few scenes planned there where Natsuki was going to do some magic tricks because he loves his magic. And he's going to stand in the street of Brighton doing some magic tricks. But then after fucking his neck, we sat in Brighton Hospital for like 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
And it was really grim and depressing. But I cut that out. I didn't think that would be fun viewing. it was quite fun, but it was pretty hard to film such a thing, right? When you've got no plan, it's really hard to make it work and to make it entertaining.
You can't film everything, can you?
Absolutely. And so that's why it was really hard for me to edit that bit. When he's all the scenes in Japan, easy. That was easy. But like running around after Natsuki with a Canon 70D in my hand, trying to capture something that's entertaining and makes sense, really difficult. And that's why it took so long to make Natsuki the movie. I had to sit down and look through just a staggering amount of footage and think, how is this going to work? How can this be like a interesting, kind of compelling scene or whatever? So that's why it took so long, really.
I think, I mean, 2 things on that. I mean, you talk about the magic tricks and stuff. He constantly does the chupa chups trick that he's done to me. He's always got a chupa chup on him somehow.
Did he
that to me. He's always got a chupa chup in there. And there's a beautiful moment where he's doing his rather underwhelming chupa chup trick. I think he'd probably admit that himself. And then in his bar with his friend who really likes London music and with the clock, the Big Ben clock that hasn't got a battery in it.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's like, it's a lovely moment where in the background you just see his mate, the bartender, just trying to do the chupa chup trick in the background, which I really
like. I love that scene. I love that. I think that's my favourite scene in the entire film, that whole bar in general. Like those two, such funny characters, right? Tenor is just as amusing as Natsuki. And he's just standing there trying to make a chopper chops come up as Natsuki's trying to play Lenny Kravitz on the guitar, albeit not very well.
Yeah.
I love that scene. It's probably my favourite scene in the entire film, to be honest. Yeah.
It is fun. And I think it's got a really good you get a really good handle about what Japanese bars are like, in that you'll walk in, there'll be one person at the bar and one person serving, and there'll be 3 other seats, and that will be the bar. That's it, really. And you can't help but be in people's
faces. Tiny, quaint atmosphere. I love his interpretation of just like British culture. He's got like London buses everywhere, Union Jacks and David Bowie's face everywhere. It's like the quintessential what Japanese people think of British culture looks like bar. And it's really cool. I only discovered that place like last year. I lived in that town for 3 years.
Yeah.
And Natsuki only took me to it last year.
Oh.
I was like, God's sake, Natsuki, why didn't you bring me here before? This is amazing.
You're literally British.
Loved it.
You would be a rock star in there. Oh, that's
it's
hilarious.
Amazing place. Yeah.
What I like about Natsuki is, like, I think that the start of the film is actually genuinely upsetting. You know, he's a man who feels a little bit trapped.
Upsetting.
A little bit. It's because it's like he's a man who's trapped. He's sort of beaten down by his routine and how much work he has to do every week. And his beautiful wife is just like, oh, I wish he'd, you know,
Yeah, she's lovely.
She stopped smoking and wish she wouldn't work so hard, et cetera, et cetera. And he's just, you know, constantly smoking and drinking coffee and stuff. And like,
his breakfast, you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I love breakfast. That. My breakfast. Coffee, cigarette, and two cigarettes.
And two cigarettes.
What a breakfast. Thought my breakfast was poor.
Delicious. And then, like, but he genuinely appreciates, I think, the freedom of doing something a little bit different, doing something a little bit. You only have to look at, like, the stuff he does on your channel. And latterly, the Tokyo Creative stuff that he's been doing and stuff, like teaching people pop culture and stuff from 15 years ago. teaching people in their 20s about pop culture from 20 years ago. So, yeah, cool. Like, he does get a buzz out of it, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely loves it. He definitely revels in it. For him, it is an escape. YouTube allows him to get away from work. And he does work 6 days a week, which is an insane amount. I mean, one of the reasons this took so long to film again is because every time I called him and said, "Natsuki, are you free to film?" he said, "No, I've got work." So it's a hell of a workload.
Yeah.
And I mean, since I've met him, he seems a lot more worn down and tired over the years. It's probably something to do with the 30 Marlboro Red cigarettes he smokes every single day. But it felt like this documentary, it was kind of now or never.
Yeah.
If I made it a few years ago, he would have been too happy. But now he seems a lot more mellow, to be honest. I mean, I hope he actually does something about his ridiculous work schedule, like hire someone. Otherwise, it is going to catch up with him. But looking back at Natsuki the movie, if I was to objectively rate it on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd probably give it a 7 out of 10. I think one of the things the film does pull off is there is a nice story, a nice narrative arc there. I mean, at the start we have Natsuki, he's tired, he's worn down. The trip to Europe does rejuvenate him. It reignites a sort of dormant dreams of performing. Yeah. And at the end of the film, spoiler alert, when he's performing and playing with his band, it's a nice kind of ending. I think it's quite
huge.
Heartwarming. But there's no doubt all the scenes in Europe were very rushed indeed. And it was difficult to make that work.
He's eating, he's walking around London, then he heads to Paris. Well, then he heads to Stonehenge, meets the guardian of the Stonehenge, the little bird. Big Bird.
Big Bird.
And then he heads
He's
to
hard
Paris.
Worker. And then I think my favourite line in the entire film is when he's in the bar and he has the Chupa Chups lollipop out and he does a magic trick. And as he's making it levitate, he says, "I am eccentric power. I have eccentric power." Is that what eccentric power looks like, lifting a lolly?
And also, like, where's he learnt the word eccentric? Out of all the words you
Not
can learn.
Not a clue, Pete. Like, it's magical, isn't it? The way he just pulls
like,
out these words
the
randomly
learn
somehow.
In like another language, eccentric is not the first, second, or third word you learn. My favorite bit, one of our other favorite bits, is when he eats snails. Oh, he's having none of that. Yours. He's having none of those snails.
It's so bad. He put his fingers in his ears as though somehow stopping sound from happening would make the process of chewing on a snail all the more bearable. The best thing about that was I didn't even tell him to exaggerate. That was his genuine reaction, to put his fingers in his ears and to look like he was going to implode. His face just, he looked like he was going to cry at one point.
I like we sometimes do we'll probably do a little bit of Japanese vocab in a bit, but I really liked I learned moi. Moi, I've had enough.
Moi,
I've had enough snails.
I'm done.
And then he goes to the antique, massive antique market in France. I mean, we're not really spoiling anything because the whole delight is actually watching him do all these things. But he goes to a big market, and I thought he buys a lot of gnomes, and I thought he'd bought just one gnome. It was like a Seven Dwarfs kind of situation.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
He spent €300. It's no wonder he has to work 6 days a week. He's got to keep himself in €300 gnomes that appear to be squeaky dog toys.
To be fair, though, Pete, he did barter it down from €350 to €300. I don't know what they were. He said they were some sort of exotic 1960s antiques. But to me, they were just squeaky dog toys that were overpriced. €300 dog toys because they were kind of squeaky.
I can only imagine that's the case because garden gnomes do not squeak and they're made of ceramics.
Well, yeah.
Dog toys are made of rubber and they squeak.
I was watching him buy these Snow White dog toy things
like
and thinking, why are you doing this? At what point are these going to boost sales in your business? These scary toys that I wouldn't want to get locked in a room with and have a staring competition. But he thinks he's going to make money off them, and he might do. Good luck to him selling them online. He might make a profit somehow.
I think I've spoken about this before, but when I went to Japan, I went to a Mandarik, and my friend Simon, who's like a big shot journal, but he's got a background in video games, so he's got a Neo Geo kind of system, and he wanted me to buy a particular video game. And that was like 500 quid, a £500 video game. Not a video game console, we talked about this before. And if I just took that home and sold it, I would get a grand for it. So there are, you know, if you with the global economy, you sort of assume that you can get everything everywhere. So then, you know, prices have to be kind of flat. But you can get some bargains and, you know, I mean, 500 quid is not a bargain.
To be fair.
Very clear, but
He's probably the only person in the Asia-Pacific region who actually owns those Snow White dog toy things. And it would be amazing if he actually made a profit out of them. He could sell them for millions. Who knows?
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's
pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania. Too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Are you a YouTuber?
Wow.
I really like the floating bit where he's doing the indoor skydiving, because that man manages to kind of help Natsuki float, but not float himself, and then suddenly he'll just start floating. Imagine sort of being so aware of your shape that you don't float, and then you start floating. It's so weird.
The indoor skydiving. Yeah, I know. I felt really jealous when I was filming that. He had a blast doing it until the somersault of despair. But I really wanted to do it myself. It was such a shame that he buggered it, to be honest, because, again, I know, it ruined the next few days of our film schedule. At the same time, though, it was one of the funniest scenes in the entire film, watching him end the scene by banging his head and doing a reverse somersault. So, you know, swings and roundabouts, really. The scene led us to do acupuncture, and that was another great scene. So,
what I'm getting from you is, Chris, that you've spent all this time editing a film together, and you are clearly like one of those kind of like directors who just can't watch their own work, and they, you know, they just see every little problem, sort of. Oh, they're just so rushed because you know, England such a long, such a short time. It's a lovely bit of work, Chris. Back yourself, crying out loud.
Well, I think the thing is, as I was doing it, I just learned so much along the way. You think when you throw yourself in the deep end of a project that's well out of your depth, you have to learn so much. And I was studying things like cinematography and narrative structure while I was making it, quite literally with a book out. I walked away from this project with a lot of newfound knowledge. And it all started as a joke, you know. 18 months ago, I launched the Patreon account, and I said to people on there, if we get 1,000 people supporting the Abroad in Japan channel on Patreon, we will literally make Natsuki the movie. It was an off-the-cuff remark. I didn't expect it to happen, and then we hit the target, and I was like, oh, crap, I've actually got to do it now. I've actually got to make this film. And the last 18 months have been stressful, trying to work out how to make it and how to make this actually happen. So for that to be over with now is a giant relief. And it's great to walk away from making this with so much newfound knowledge and skills. I must admit, when I did put it up, when I uploaded it, I did think for a moment, oh, it could have been better. Damn it, what a shame. And then now it's got 250,000 views and about 30,000 people have liked it. And more importantly, I've received lots of photos from people around the world sitting down to watch it with friends and family. And that's been incredibly rewarding. So I don't regret doing this at all. I've loved it, and I don't want to have to do it again. Let's not do it again.
Ever. That's the thing about kind of big projects like this. Like, you start it such a long time ago, and like, I think you'd probably even admit that you know, like the film you made in not Fukuoka, Fukushima kind of area, that kind of area.
Oh, the tsunami one.
Yeah, the tsunami video. Like, you'd probably say that was the techniques and the filmography there, the photography there was probably better than what you filmed when you were out with Natsuki, just simply because like you're better at it now than you were back then, but you're dealing with footage you filmed like a year and a half ago.
Absolutely.
Pretty much, aren't you? So like you're probably like going, oh no, that's dreadful. It's still better than 99% of the shit on YouTube, so I mean, I wouldn't worry about that.
Well, it's not hard to be honest. The bar on YouTube isn't particularly high. I wouldn't have, the tsunami documentary wouldn't have been half as good had I not made Natsuki the movie. I learned so much about composition, colour grading, how to make it a bit more dynamic and dramatic. So the moral of the story is, undertake huge projects, learn new things, and you will win. You'll win at life.
And win. The crux, the end, the fulcrum, let's say, of the of the film, the emotional, you know, the joyous part of the film is when Natsuki produces and releases a song, or certainly gets filmed doing a song. Hey, I tell you what, it's a good. I was expecting worse, to be honest.
I must admit, I love the way you phrase that. I was expecting worse.
Like, I wouldn't say he's the greatest singer in the world, but his musical nous is definitely he's got a nose for it.
Well, the song itself is actually quite good, like the instruments, the way it's played, and everything. Yeah. And did you notice the guy playing on stage with him is Tedder, the guy from the bar earlier?
Oh, I didn't.
I don't think a lot of people noticed that.
Is he playing like a little bass?
Yeah, he's playing the bass. And so they finally did unite. But it's very subtle, and I think most people would have missed it.
Right.
But that's quite a nice thing, because earlier on they're like, one day we'll play together and we'll unite, and they do, and that's cool. But like that song, filming that song was a nightmare. Another reason Natsuki the movie took so long is we finished filming, and then the ending was rubbish. It was just Natsuki looking at the Eiffel Tower going, well, that was a good holiday, the end. And that doesn't work, right? We needed something there. So we came back, and Natsuki was like, I'm going to write a song for Sid Vicious. And I was like, good luck with that, mate. And about a month passed, and he'd written this song, and the lyrics in the song, Natsuki wrote them himself. I sort of corrected a few words, but that's what he wrote in Japanese, and he translated it into English himself using Google Translate. Don't do that. Good Lord, it was so awful when I saw it. But it turned out the lyrics all right. They kind of worked well with the story.
I enjoyed the fuck you in the middle of one of them.
Go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself, yeah.
But that evening, he hired out like this music hall to play for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And his band and I were sitting there waiting for him to turn up because he was late. And he got there, and it was a really snowy evening. And he opened the car door, and his sheets with all the lyrics on got blown away down the street.
Oh, no.
So he turned up, and he was like, fuck! And he was really angry. He was like, my music has gone. And we were like, you Muppet Natsuki. So he was like standing there singing it with like his iPhone in hand with the lyrics. And we, by the end of it, we only had 20 minutes to film the song because he was practicing for the other hour and 40.
Yeah.
And so the miracle of that music video, and I'm quite happy with how it turned out, the miracle of it is we only filmed it in 20 minutes, and I basically made him do it like 4 or 5 times. And I was just standing there with the camera trying to get the whole thing from 4 or 5 different angles.
Yeah.
And each one of those attempts that he sang it, each of those 4 times, he actually missed out words and got the song wrong. But after I stitched it all together, it actually worked. He actually looked like he was singing it properly. So that was, I was really happy with that, how that turned out. And I had to learn how to do a kind of a music video style of sequence. And so that was quite fun.
And also
learning how to do that. And that was one of my favourite things about the movie. One of the best things I learned, how to do that and how to make a relatively all right opening title sequence. So,
I imagine the greatest, the thing that every director/editor looks forward to is subtitles. I imagine that was the highlight of the whole thing, subtitling the entire endeavour, to be honest.
Yeah, that was about as fun as falling down the stairs. I was sitting there evening after evening, putting in subtitles. I only made one mistake that I realised afterwards. Somebody messaged me saying I made one mistake. I'm not going to tell you where it is.
Who does that? I mean, come on now. Like, you're not going to be able to
change it. I
feel
like a tortured soul. There's nothing I can do about it now, right?
Also, this is a really geeky question. Like, about as geeky as this podcast ever gets. You know, like, with Patreon and stuff, and you managed to put all of the backers into the credit sequence, of which I am in the middle. Yeah. I enjoyed looking for my little name. Do they give you, like, a data set? Or do you have to just compile the list by yourself?
No, I typed out every name by hand.
You did not type
it. Took about 3 weeks. And,
no. All right, I've got my answer.
Obviously, I got a little Excel spreadsheet download from Patreon.
Thank you.
Put it in alphabetical order and stuck it up. Job done. Only took about a day. Yeah.
Well, look, I can't recommend you watching Natsuki the movie enough. It really just whipped by. Like, it's an hour, but like, it did not feel like an hour, to be honest.
But is that a good thing, though? Because a lot of people
said that's a great thing, isn't it?
I guess it's better to have something that feels fast paced and you want to see more rather than feeling like it went on too long, right?
I'm right.
Yeah.
Shall we do a little bit of vocabulary from the film? I mean, we've done Moi, which is I've had enough snails, thanks. Morty.
Yes, so I've got three phrases for you this week, Mr. Donaldson.
Okay.
And the first word is film.
Film.
Given that we discussed
yes,
film.
I know this one.
Speedy
I
vocabulary, three words. First word, film.
Igga. Igga.
Good. Yeah. Well done. How do you know that?
That's one of the first words I learnt, weirdly enough. Yeah. Very strange.
Yeah.
And shinbun.
Okay, well, what about the second word? There's a moment in the film where Natsuki pulls out a Chupa Chups lollipop to his friend Tera-san, and he says, oh, wow, that's nostalgic. That takes me back.
That's nostalgic. Yeah, I got bought them,
what
I got them in the
nostalgic?
80s.
What is that in Japanese? Let's see.
I have no idea.
The word actually sounds like Natsuki. It's natsukashi. Natsukashi.
Natsukashi.
That means nostalgic.
Oh, well, I mean that's a really that's a really easy memory thing, isn't it? Just remember Natsuki. Natsukashi.
Yeah, it sounds a bit like Natsuki with natsukashi. Cash. Natsukashi. There. You hear a lot of people say it if they return to an old town or pick up an old toy they haven't seen in years. They'll say natsukashi. There. That takes me back. So it's a really useful word to know.
I'm a very forgetful man, so I will probably forget umbrellas, forget scarves, forget jackets. So when I'm in a Japanese bar, I'll always come back, and if someone goes, oh, you all right? Have you forgotten something? I'll go, tadaima! I'm home. I'm back.
And they'll be terrified.
And they'll be terrified. It sounds like a...
Who is this loud, abrasive person from England coming in here shouting out words? And the last word is to be moved. It's the verb to be moved.
Oh.
Natsuki actually says it when he's looking at the Mona Lisa. He sort of says, wow, I'm so moved by this. Again, really common expression. You hear it quite a lot.
That's adorable.
But what is it? Do you know?
I've no idea, to be honest. No idea, Chris.
It is kandosuru.
Kandosuru. Ah.
Like, it's a suru verb, so the suru goes after. It's a kandosuru. It literally just means, like, yeah, I'm moved by this, I'm moved by it. Although I've always felt it doesn't really work, because if you just sort of go, I'm moved, it feels like it's lacking emotion, right?
I am having an emotion.
I'm so moved. We've got one question this week.
One question, okay. I mean, no doubt we'll have...
Jamie.
Maybe, like, in our next email roundup, we can sort of pile through a few Natsuki the Movie questions and stuff, because there will be more. There will be more.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I pulled this question out because you're in it.
Oh,
so
good.
It's
good
extra
news,
fun.
Good news, everyone.
Says, hi, guys. I have a question. Another question. It says Jamie, who's presumably emailed us before. Hi, guys. I have another question. Natsuki the Movie was super awesome. It was nice to see a side of Natsuki you don't normally see in the YouTube videos. And Pete is adorable.
Oh, how adorable.
My question isn't so much about Natsuki, but more about Pete. Now that you've done this film, would you and Pete ever consider doing a film about Pete travelling around Japan? Thank you, Jamie Wellman. No, I wouldn't.
If you like the inside
easy
of bars, if you like me marveling at you know, barroom toilets, go, oh, look at this one. I mean, that's basically.
I think it'd be fun. No, I would like to do it. I'd like to do a little video of you next time you're over in October.
Yeah,
it'd be fun.
I'm popping over. I've got my flights. It's all good. I'm actually wearing a. I've just realised I'm wearing a Japan World Cup shirt. I was in a
getting
sports
ahead of
direct
yourself,
shop. I know. I thought I'd crack on with buying myself a little Japan shirt. It's very enjoyable. Mm. A lovely shade of blue.
Very nice. So
there we go.
Very nice. I mean, we will. I think I'll make at least one video when you're over here, though.
Yeah, we should do something. Yeah, we should do something.
God knows what.
I mean, I'm gonna be joining you at some point in October, the week before Halloween, I think. So yeah, let's do something. Me just going through all the combinis and buying as much coolish as I can, basically.
You and your squeezy ice cream.
Hey, do you fancy going to Tokyo Hands? Do you fancy heading into Tokyo Hands? Pete's tour of his favourite departo, Tokyo Hands.
Oh, that'd be fun. Just to clear it up, because I know lots of people are going to ask, lots of people are wondering, are we going to make a sequel to Natsuki the Movie?
Yes.
And the answer is no. Probably not.
I
think we wrapped it up quite well, and it's done. Yeah. I think things ended on a high note, and even though it is tempting to, you know, go to America and finish what you started, a.k.a. Sid Vicious's grave and all that, just no. No. I think we did everything we need to do. I think we closed things up, wrapped things up nicely. Maybe in the event that this video had gone viral in some way, we would have considered it, but really...
things are wrapped up nicely, quit while you're ahead, and it takes so much effort to make a film
like
this.
I think big projects like that kind of big projects like that are always going to be in that kind of bracket where you sort of go, this is such a huge undertaking. A couple of days after you finish, you're like, I never want to see that again. But, you know, give yourself a few months.
Well, it's true. I know Daniel Craig said he'd rather slit his wrists than make another Bond film, and now he's back making another one. And to be honest, I would rather slit my wrists than make a Natsuki the Movie sequel. But that is all for now, guys. If you haven't already seen the mayhem that is Natsuki the Movie, do go and check it out. Sit down, watch it for an hour with some popcorn on YouTube. We'll be back the same time next Wednesday, taking your comments and questions and discussing wacky news from Japan. Do send us your emails and questions in at abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, thanks for joining, guys. We'll see you next Wednesday. Have a good one.
Go and watch Natsuki the Movie.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.